call for the field. Robert's there. If he changed that, if he changed the break point, it's going to affect the other break point.
Yeah, I think.
You have to back into all the numbers.
I think this is the average for the district. The low user was given a 50% discount, 50 days with the average user, and then above the average user was a 200% increase. So basically, we looked at all the uses within the district and said, okay, this is the average use in the district area. And if anybody goes over the average and there's a 200% surcharge for Lifeline, there's a 50% discount.
But they're going over because they have to go over to keep the plants wet because they've got so much land. And they shouldn't be penalized for that. And our house is a good example, and Valley Estates is a good example. There are 20 homes there, each one of them 1 acre. And believe me, they're nicely kept and rightfully so.
Well, if you want to do that, then you just go to the flat rate and everybody pays the tax.
We could do a flat rate.
A flat rate's in here.
Well, you have a limited water supply.
I understand that.
Okay, and that's why this whole thing was developed, because of the limited water supply. You're on state water, the rates of tribal government encourage you to use the water.
We have care of the water.
Well, you want everybody to conserve water, but not just the one group over 4,000 cubic feet. Okay. You want everybody to conserve water.
Basically, the thing is based on the average use, and from the average use, you create the rate of
But you're missing the point, Doug. My point is that we have a larger lot. We require more water to sustain the larger lot. Now we're being penalized because we have a larger lot, not because we're wasting water, simply because we have a larger size. And that isn't right, not at all. And believe me, it's going to be the hardest sell you'll ever see in your life.
That's what we're finding out right now.
Yeah.
No, but it's the same way in Summit Station. You've got 141 new people in Summit Station, and I'm in this survey because they don't have a little city lot, so if you said, you're looking at 5-10 acre lots out there.
Right. I'd like to ask Dr. Simon for a little bit of clarification. When you take a look at this, we're going to go back to Terry. It's important that we give him, so I'm just trying to figure out what your concern is.
You haven't figured it out yet?
Well, not quite. Let me ask you the question. Are you concerned that the hit is too big? Is your concern that you don't think larger, that the structure should be that larger water users should not be paying more? Or is it that the hit, as referenced in this ordinance, is too large?
It would be the first one.
Okay. I just want to make it clear.
Yeah. You're penalizing the larger lot users, and that's unfair in my opinion. It's very unfair in my opinion.
Okay, well there's flat rate.
Yeah, I understand that, and that would be
the same goal. I mean, it's
the budget amount. Yeah. But I think the budget amount has got some slack in it available. You know, it's not a chapter and verse yet. It's got slack, and I think we should look for that slack.
See, then we're doubling out, what, the 2-inch, the 3-inch, and the 4-inch people. We're doubling their rates, is that, their meter rate? Is it a new one's $30 and the old is $15 for an inch and a half?
You down here? Okay. Yeah, the old rate $30 and the new one $30. And $30 for next time.
Okay. $30.
$15.
that's the easy part, right?
So in other words, if you have an inch and a half meter, we're charging them $15 a month, right?
Absolutely. It's just like a 2 month rate.
So that's a 2 month rate, right?
That's the best.
Okay.
How many of you have to use
to do that? Well,
let's see.
That's what's throwing me off, because I thought we were doubling the rates, and that's when they come out of song.
Yeah. You created a right here that just came out.
Okay.
It's comfortable to strip people. But anyway, what it is the current rate was to be maintained throughout.
And that's what it should be. We're talking about not the, the meter size, because the meter size has the only thing difference there is that you're liable to have a larger meter if you use more, because they might have put in a larger meter. But we're not talking about meters. We're talking about cubic feet. And this is 0 to 4,000 cubic feet, and a person using more than 4,000 is penalized. A person using between 10 and 40 is penalized.
And as the consultant mentioned, the rate structure is designed for conservation.
But it isn't conserving. I'm not going to have less water. All I'm going to do is pay more, and that's not right.
You could conserve.
I could conserve.
This could encourage people to conserve.
Well, it should encourage everybody to serve. To conserve, not just me. Everybody should conserve, and that's the way it's got to be designed. Because if you go out and you tell some people that, hey, we're going to charge you more for water because you use more, and he's going to say, well, what are you going to charge this other guy that uses not quite as much as I do, but he does, he's not quite as much. Well, we're not going to charge him so much. But this is almost ridiculous when you look at 40 cubic feet at $202.31 versus $115, and you look here at $75 versus $1.28, that's wrong. That is really wrong.
I've cut down my guidance with the price of gasoline. That's the opposite of the retreat, because they have a limited water supply.
Well, I'll tell you about it. That is not going to fly.
I'll cut the horse.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Okay,
I guarantee you.
You go to a flat rate, and the board is real concerned about lifeline users, and therefore, you go on the other end that you're penalizing lifeline users. The little old lady out there that can't afford it, you're going to pay for it.
Oh, give me a break. Yeah. Come on.
She can go on welfare and you know, the welfare check and pay for the water.
Yeah, but give them a break if you want to.
But don't
double these rates from 115 to 231.
All I can suggest is the consultant here, and of course you can start up at that time to keep the water
He put it together as a possibility, and he didn't put it as a factual.
That's okay. And the text in here explains why. Let's take a couple of comments.
John Snyder from Price, California.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm very
nice. John Snyder from Price, California. I was just wondering, maybe we missed something here, but why exactly do we need a doubling of the rate for a fixed service area? Is this actually paying for the expanded area that was depicted in the Boyle report that's way outside your boundary as compared to your current boundaries right now?
This is paying for a lot of things. Have you reviewed the report?
The Boyle report?
No. The financial plan?
No, I just received that.
Okay. Based on the boundary.
Which is the larger area? Based on the larger area?
It's current district and the Black Lake is treated separately in the sewer regard, in the water regard, they're combined with what speed of the system that we look at together at any point.
I guess I don't quite grasp the additional piping pump that would be needed, that would require a doubling of the rate.
Okay, there are things in here that indicated that we haven't been recovering depreciation amounts on equipment. There's also, if anyone wants to hear this, there's covering depreciation amounts of capital assets, something we haven't been doing, haven't been recovering hardly at all until the last year or two. That we've been trying to recover a portion of it. But basically, we're not garnering enough funds to replace systems. We also find that we've got 25% loss of water volume, which is an unmetered loss throughout the system.
You're charging, though, these people that use more, you're charging them more than you're charging the other people for things that are beyond their control.
Right, and that's a flat rate. I'm not going to go with that right now. But,
well, I guess my opinion would be that this, you know, for a system that already exists, an area that already exists, and where new people who come in and build have to, you know, pay for their pricing, a 2-to-1 increase for approximately whatever 75 cents to $1.28 seems pretty steep for an existing system.
I think so too. Yeah, it does seem steep, but it's got foundation, and we need to report this and tell them that someday. You want to challenge the country?
I'll study the report and I'll be back.
Write your questions. There's a question about reserve. There's also a proposed meter change-out program for every meter older than 10 years. Data shows that we may be losing 10% of the water just because the meters are not measuring it accurately. Because the average is every time we go in and substitute a meter, the bill goes up. So the leakage, the lead, and buckets. Passage of water is not being properly measured because the diameter is slow, whatever. Maybe it's inaccurate.
I just got this off. I'll read it in right there.
Well, today I discussed the present for 2 years.
Yes.
We're going out to these little bitty houses, more small, like 1 inch meter. 1 inch meter, give or take, costs $80. 5 days meter costs $40. So that means we're wasting $40 on every one of these things we install because we're putting the wrong size in it. My little water company, I mean, I only had 4 or 5 hookups, and I sure as heck didn't put the wrong size meter in there because $40 is just $40. And, we're spending money for the wrong thing on that, and I think we ought to do, if we're going to retrofit it, let's use a smaller meter.
Well, that was addressed
to it.
Right.
Yeah. When we change up the meter,
the other thing I want to address is this changing of the hookups. $3,500 for the sewer. We're going to drop that to $2,000. Okay, and that means we're going to give everybody $1,500. So Ludolf's coming in with however many houses he is, he's going to pick up $1,500. All these other houses are going to come in. All these people are going to pick up $1,500, and the ratepayers are going to get charged with a higher rate.
Hold on a second.
No?
This is... Okay, here. Okay.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the reasons for the report is to accurately separate the cost and revenue associated with water and delineate those in those specific facilities. And the report, after the adoption of the flow report, had a finding that staff were involved in, and found out that we're not charging enough for a variable water rate, a fixed capacity charge for pretty close, a variable related to pumping and electricity or things, so delivering the water was too low, and our capacity charges, hookup fees for sewer was too high. So we're trying to address that, because partially, the question for this mayor is his wife, response. This has come to light as a result of the most recent reports and further analysis by Oil Engineering, the plan update by Energy Journal, some very important researchers, and then interpretation of those reports by Terry Locke, who was an expert in this field. And this data was not a lesson, did not exist before. And right now, there is some question as to how wonderful the numbers are, but they're much more wonderful than they were 10 years ago. So we've also discovered that our accounting principles and our software is not quite what it ought to have been, but much better now than what it was.
Can I see find out?
Yes. Just a minute. Certainly. Yeah, we might have a topic we can talk about.
Through all these reports, was there ever thought back to the original reason for the picking up $3,500 as the hookup fee?
That's
the original grant program.
That's what we've tried to research. Maybe Steph can help me out on that, but I seem to recall there wasn't a lot of success in finding the actual calculations to support that number. Although,
but
you remember, you were on the board, and
Bob
Hall generated most of those.
Yeah, well, even so, but whatever his reasoning was, it had to be accepted and ratified by the grant program. So there should
right.
be some,
justification
there. So if that was approved by the grant funding program, if that was the fee that was supposed to be paid to maintain the system and maintain it in its life form, how is it that you can suddenly come back here 15 years later and say that that is no longer applicable, if that is what they originally intended the fee would be paid in order to maintain the system for capital improvement and for upgrades and so forth. And even though we have more users now, they anticipated that that use would be enlarged in the future dates, that those capital funds would still be the necessary funds to not only do the capital improvements we're going to do, but also rebuild the plant when the time comes.
Good question. If you answered your own question,
no, I didn't.
12, 15 years ago.
Yeah, 12, 15 years ago. But this,
that was before the
yeah.
thing was online. That was before it was
no,
made.
No,
was
no, no. They looked at that would be the lifetime, that was the amount of money that would have to be paid.
But now we run it for eight years.
Yeah, but you have to realize, if they looked at it at that time, they anticipated what it would be. You know, regardless, you say, okay, we run it online for 8 years and so forth. But what are you going to do when the time comes and you have to rebuild that thing? You have to go back and the money's... $2,000 now?
We have phases 1 through 4 that are already identified.
Okay, you've got all these phases identified. How is it that with these monies that you said that you're going to drop it down now, then gradually increase it again? How do you justify dropping it now and then increasing it again to gain those monies that you need to gain? If you've got you've got reserve funds that you have to maintain for replacing that system, why do you have to drop them down? And if you have to drop them down, how do you justify telling all those people prior to this date that the money that you're going to exclude from the price from everyone else from here on, that they shouldn't be refunded the money that they paid originally? That's the money that you...
That's a lot of questions.
Yeah, it is.
That's
a good question.
I'll give you one answer.
No, wow. Okay. How are you going to tell people that we paid $3,500 up to this date?
And what's your input from the board members?
Maybe
I don't want this to get into challenges.
No,
Maybe Greg can tell us the reason for dropping that.
Yeah.
Basically, Mr. Block took some boiling drain for it. And based on the boiling report and what improvements are needed to bring the district up, and based on the roads and potential vehicle pump capacity and relocation, et cetera, on the sewer system, and that's primarily what we're talking about. Based on that information, he projected out the capacity chart for the connection chart. And based on that, all the physical improvements will be as a pay-as-you-go basis, based on the charges for sensitive systems. That's why it was cost. The depreciation and replacement costs are put into the monthly user charge. And so, therefore, the depreciation is being funded by the monthly user charge. All the capital expenditures for expanding the plant, for putting new systems in, etc., is on the capacity. And based on those things, indicated that if you cannot overcharge based on what the report says, that's California state.
How do you justify the overcharging?
Well, I'm not saying to overcharge that.
Well, that's a statement that you made.
He looked at the
$3,500 was established on a grant and was justified and approved by the state.
Okay.
And it carried us this far. Now, being reevaluated based on the boil engine report, paying up the retail facilities you need, this is the time frame that these facilities will be coming in based on a certain growth rate. And these are the costs that you need to fill those facilities. And based on the connection charges, the extra people coming in, you need the cost per unit to fill those facilities.
In doing that, you're changing the total attitude about what the sewage plant was about. You're changing. People came in with the idea that $3,500 worth of that is what we sold the project on. Okay, and we got to get back to that point. We sold the project that $3,500. Those people who were not willing to volunteer, who wouldn't risk their money in the original plan, we're going to have to pay $3,500. Okay, and you kept that as a benchmark all the way through here. Now, to change it now is to go back and tell those people that we didn't tell you the truth. We didn't tell you what we... How can you change something now that...
It makes sense because here we are 8 or 10 years later. Obviously, things have to be replaced, but you can't... If the study indicates that you'll be overcharging, then it justifies lowering the price.
Not if that is the benchmark that you set.
You just change it, that's all.
If you can change it, then you have to deal with all the people who have bought in these projects.
Yeah. Some people in the future get a better deal than I did, but that's okay. Things are different.
We don't, because this is reporting a system.
Well, it doesn't matter whether the report existed then or not. You have a certain trust that you have with these people out here. This is the schedule by which you set it up for them.
Okay, I think you made a good point. The schedule was, because it was specifically the most expensive charge of $3,500, basically paid off the debt of the turbine. 100%.
Okay.
And now you realize that debt paid off, and so therefore based on the last studies and objectives improvements needed, these are the fees that pay as you go basis that can be charged by the district, justifiably charged by the district, to take over two cents.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason that we reduced the original $24 a month this morning when you said
what happens to those volunteers? Those people who bought into the system who told that they were going to be paying $2,100. Now, if you're going to drop the fee on $3,500, what happens to their allotment? Shouldn't it be compensated and adjusted accordingly?
We haven't evaluated that. That's why we're taking public comment.
Okay.
We haven't evaluated
you're listening to all of these people that if they volunteered, there would be a $1,400 difference between their hookup charge on their empty land or whatever it was when the time came. So now, by dropping this price down, they're going to feel as if they risk their money, and now whoever's coming in now, it's the same price that they did.
David, this is your opinion.
I know, these are my opinions. That's all I'm saying. These are my opinions.
You're speaking for the public, and you can't do that.
No, I'm not speaking for a property. I'm speaking for someone as an individual property owner without the piece of property that's in that category.
You don't know if they feel the way you're.
Well, this is how I feel about this.
It doesn't bother me that I pay more than somebody else for the future.
Right.
So that's what that is. Mm-hmm. It's a personal thing.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, Alex. But I think that there's a certain criteria that was set up originally, and now that criteria has been changed, and some of the things that we said that were going to be this way are now suddenly changing, and I think you're going to get a lot of misunderstanding about all of it. I really don't.
What is the problem with this study? Is it doesn't have the backup material in any of this stuff. All you're looking at is, it doesn't bring the law in, you're saying that the law changed. You need the law changed to some of it. You don't need, the study doesn't tell us anything on that regard. The other thing, I have a question on the study also, as far as the sewer capacity, heat or gas flowing unit equivalent, is that supposed to be the same for Black Lake as for Homer?
Black Lake is probably being funded by the development for itself.
So there's no capacity of the PR? Okay. And another thing I have a question on, if we were to assume this report, are we assuming that we're borrowing $1 million this year? Are we okaying that by assuming this report? because that's in the report of new money. I wonder if it's coming from the DOS.
And from the budget process.
Thank you. And the other thing is, this report is based on the budget, not based on the actual. The budget's inflated on the expenses. After it was so that you didn't have to come back to the board and do it. And the other thing is, the revenue was deflated. And that's just a fact, but that's not a, you know, that's a normal thing for a budget, but I don't think it's based on, I think that our studies are based on the actual report.
Aren't they very accurate, though, on our budget projection?
No.
What do you consider an
accurate report? The overall, first of all, when you look at the budget, it's based on about $600,000 in transfer out of Cleveland. And that's not realistic to look at that as a budgeted cash flow item. But we're basing this study and the expenses are totally based on the budget. They're not based on what it's actual.
Based on what?
The figures. The expense figures are based on our budget. What I'm going to say also is that this particular type of study is based on like a normal government unit. We decide what our expenses are, and then we go out there and say, okay, that's what you have to pay. That's what this study is based on. There's no expense cutting, there's no thoughts on any other direction than that. And that's a normal thing for government units. No, but the argument we do have control over.
25%.
How many
new houses
do you
look at here? I know we've already okay 25 for somebody else.
This study, I assume, is 5%
real estate. Yeah, but what I can't understand is 15 years ago, $3,500 was the going rate. Okay, this guy now tells me that 15 years later, it's $2,000. A new truck 15 years ago was $6,000. I hate to tell you what I paid for that one sitting out there in the parking lot. Sure as hell wasn't $9,000. And I don't know if any district, is there any other district in California that's lower in their hookup fee? I don't think so. And I mean, we've got to expand the sewer plant. What is it, $4 million or $5 million to expand the sewer plant? Who's going to pay for it? It should be the new people. I mean, I can't see raising the rates to old ladies in little bitty houses and then giving the developers $1,500 free ride. I mean, I didn't get that when I built houses, and I built a couple houses in 88. I paid $3,500 in the Oceano. I didn't figure that was out of line in 1988.
Stations 1 through 4 is for a $1.2 million. Number of couple phases are like
$1.6 million. Well, you know, the inflation doesn't stay at 5%, but I can't see more in our fees. That's crazy. And raising the rate over there. To me, don't make sense. I don't know.
Well, what Mr. Lodge has told us is that what we've been doing so far doesn't make sense. And that's why we're reconsidering. He's telling us in a nutshell, we're starting to see levels of a variable portion of our water supply costs with a reserve built in and increase. And to support the world report.
But he also, he gave us a booklet at the time, and we followed his conversation with the booklet. But when you got home and you opened the booklet, you saw it from a totally different abstract method, and consequently, I've changed my mind on just an awful lot what he told us the other day. And I think that we've got to put a lot of study into this thing, because these rates are very, very important. They're long term, and we want to make a very few mistakes.
Then if we get supplemental water, we're going to raise them again.
So, yeah, this doesn't consider supplemental water. This is now that we have our current price structure, we could even get rid of our rock that hooker again.
You're not going to convince me. I don't care if the President of the United States comes down, but he's not going to convince you about this story at $1,500. I mean,
you're comfortable with raising the water, but not the cost of it.
Well, I can see raising the water a little bit, and that still puts us at $6,000, because we'll get you 10 or 11 jobs. So, I mean, we're still going to get all the growth in the county, but they're going to come here because it's 4 grand cheaper.
Well, we can look at both types of issues, and then the legal issues that Caden brought up, that Mr. Locke wasn't...
He don't live here.
He wasn't retained to give us a legal opinion.
Yeah,
he was retained to do a pure economic analysis.
One, there's legal, and two, pure.
That means that for the last 50 years we've been violating the law?
You cannot charge appropriate rates in the public entity and ask to justify it. You cannot gouge the public.
It's illegal, either.
And JHP, that's why we hired a professional to go through and evaluate all our fees and everything else, and bring it in line with the California government code and associated law. If you want to pay us $3,500,
like El Simon and Valley Estates, and I have to be also one of those twins on Valley Estates, then I think you put a calculator and you take a pencil and a piece of paper and you come to the conclusion, if they push this through, I'll sink my own well. And then the whole idea of the social engineering to let the big property owner, because it's unfair, etc., etc., he's got to conserve a disproportionate amount of water, because that's indeed what is being proposed, that somebody who has a smaller lot, I think you're just forcing that person to make an economical decision and sink their own well and say, forget it with the Department of Community Service District. So I think then the whole conservation goes overboard. And I think on the comment that Director Fairbanks made, I wholly concur that it is classical of a government agency to indeed say, okay, this is what our cost is, or what we project it to be, and then let's fund it with fees. And I don't think you'll find a whole lot of people who think that a rate increase of between 70% and 100% over 5 years is something reasonable. I think that that you'll find some definite opposition to that.
And conversely, I don't think you'll find many businesses that have experienced two rate increases in 24 years.
The last rate increase was 150% in 1 year.
What was our last rate increase? 1990s?
That could very well be. And being a business owner myself, I can give you a slew of examples of things that haven't gone up for many, many more years, just because of the fact that there is such thing as things that are also going down in cost, in competition, etc. And I think that's one of the things that agencies like this sometimes lack. There is no competition, so then indeed they come up with, okay, these are the costs, that's how we need to cover them. And I think that's wrong, and that's why I think there needs to be an extremely serious discussion of also on the cost side. And
I think I should make my point very clear, and apparently I didn't. My point is not so much against the rate increase in terms of that. It's against the fact that they've selected me and other people over 4,000 cubic feet to increase them over 100% and increase the others by less than 50%. That's not right. So if a flat rate cures that, then I'm all for a flat rate.
Yeah, I can only say to that that Mr. Lockner, you know, he considered that a policy decision for us to make whether we wanted to do cure.
Yeah.
He gave us two possibilities, a flat rate to meet it and a cure structure to
meet
it. It's up to us to choose what we like the best. But
I look at the number. Well, and the man from horse country, Bob, over there,
yeah.
Like, this has got to be flat rate for his horses, you know.
I'll go with that.
Are you for it?
Good
for you.
Okay, it's obvious we're not going to get the consensus on this. Katie, can you summarize maybe two or three of your important concerns and wants if you'd like? You might want to just try to look at, you mentioned the legal
unemployment.
I have another one. Okay, you've got that. And then maybe, I don't know how much staff was involved with, but maybe a look at our best actual cost figures for certain components that were used in this versus assumptions, see if there's anything that's real neat and dragging there. That was also another reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is there something else? I'm just trying to think, so I'm going to come back to the museum and give you something sort of almost solid, maybe another explanation.
Something like what Enrique said, too, about
the
community.
Yeah.
We're going to watch our wheels and reliability if we drop the sewer rates so people have already kicked in for
all that. That's what I was doing. I am showing that last night.
But also,
the
thing
that David brought up, the vacant volunteers. There was three rates. They paid a rate, they signed up and did it, and then there was others that paid a rate of $2,100 that signed up and haven't hooked up yet. But maybe we need to look at that from the standpoint that the $2,100 is $14 more than we could have to pay. I think that's a very good point. It's something we need to be done there from a policy standpoint, because then you're maybe erasing, you know, some implied value there. Just, that's something to look at least. If it's not valid and if it's a short foundation, why we should not consider it decent, or given those people a kickback or something, then maybe we can hear that as well.
That's a 42% And the other thing that we have talked about anyway was figuring out a different way to do a flat rate for 15 or 30 bucks.
Well, we talked about that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, a possible, of course the report says we're going to encourage when replacing meters to use a smaller meter where practical. That goes without saying. I think we're going to institute that. That makes sense. But with that in place, we have to look at maybe a slightly higher rate for those that need them.
Yeah, right.
So, like you guys mentioned that was kind of in the works anyway. If you could.
Or maybe a little higher rate.
Yeah,
those
are
the ones
I need.
But I also suggest that there's going to be a lot of work here, and I have sent a lot more comments, and as Dr. Simon was pointing out, as you read it, you feel that you're finding other glitches. I would encourage the board to write their concerns down and give them to staff so that staff can accumulate them. We're not getting them all right now. To make sure that you communicate them to staff so that we can either work on them in-house or re-communicate with Mr. Locke or maybe some other, our other consultants.
Good idea.
Because we do have, as staff has pointed out, we have a variety of consultants that we've gone through when we tried to reevaluate our whole structure. So there may be some questions that come out of this that may be pertinent to the Boyle Engineering Report, and there may be some questions that will come out of this. The water study was done by both water and sewer done by Boyle that may require some of their a review of their study. So I guess what I would say is I would encourage the board to look at this study by the Locke study and look at the Boyle report on the current structure of the water and sewer, and also look at the report that we had done by our local engineer Gehring and Taylor about the sewer plant inspection to make sure that you don't have expansions that you, if you find some inconsistencies that bring it to staff's attention.
That's really going back to here. The whole point of the 50 Kennedy Gehring and Gehring Taylor working. What's that into that phase expansion? And then just looking for money.
Okay, so you're saying
we're going to discuss the engineering. I mean, that's really.
No, but you do want to make sure that Mr. Locke's report is consistent with the engineering, because that's, as Lisa pointed out, to my knowledge.
I hope so, it is.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Really, you got to look at two.
Yeah, the boiler report looks at the water system and the sewer collection system, and the cost associated with that. The Gehring Taylor and Kenny Jinks looked at the sewer plant expansion.
Right.
And Mr. Locke took an impossible for those reports to do this.
Right.
So between Boyle and the block, we spent about $115,000. You know, when you divide that by 2,400 people, you get about $45 a month.
Great players.
All to tell us that our rates are too, you know, like we're not charging the contract. You know.
You have to depend on experts.
I don't think these guys are experts. I don't know.
Well, then we get to go back and assess their credentials when they submit their bids to go to work. And if you don't like the credentials, then don't select them. After we select them, you got them.
I'm just saying we're spending a hell of a lot of money, so that's what I don't
want
to hear.
Okay. We're at an impasse. Staff has some direction with minor six things to look at. Directors will submit specific concerns or writing to staff over the next few days, and at the next meeting we'll take this up again. Okay. Item number seven, is a county land exchange for water to regional park?
Mr. President, as we've discussed with the board and the county, the district has a 6.5 acre park which is across the street from the area. It's kind of a landfill park with a company and a service station. And we're in negotiation now. We mentioned with that spent about $100,000. We negotiated down. We consulted land prices got down to about $85,000, which is about $2.5 an acre foot. The county wants $6 an acre foot. Which I don't think it's economically justifiable for the district to acquire that land. Exchange for water. They felt that if they could give it to this, anything less than that would be gifting public funds to the county. And of course, the county has a great dichotomy in the aspect that they want the water at our current rates, and if we raise the water rates, they would not pay for the increase in water rates, and that is not a gifting of public funds. They're high. So my recommendation is that we withdraw the letter indicating the memorandum of understanding as part of the exchange of property for water.
I agree.
Say that from the beginning, and we have just been doing this for hours. We have to talk to the two or three plants over there. See if we look at stories. $85,000 and $200,000 next week or something. We don't need to build on another lot. We can build right perfectly where we have one. So, sorry for any of those people.
The motion order direct staff to write a letter of the letter.
Public comments? Any feelings on that, on the county negotiations?
I think that's a service in the floor. I think that, yeah.
Yeah,
it just seems like it's so prudent, so the CSB to do that kind of thing, and as a member of the Old Town Plumbing Business Association, they also felt that there was a very useful check the community could utilize that particular property for securing the community. And the public could still have, you know, plenty of access to any building that you would build to take care of your needs on the property that you already own.
Item number 9 is the approval of warrants. Those are handed
people in this room. Yeah. Let's see. Anyone have time to play in the rooms?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And it's been looked into me.
Okay, sure.
Yes, I are you looking for a motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I make a motion that they accept the minutes ready.
Okay, motion by Director Sumner to approve the warrants. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Director Sumner. All those in favor of approving the warrants, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, no one has opposed. Item number two. Item number 10 is the third quarter financial report.
Mr. President, the third quarter bank report ending March 31st, 1996 takes into consideration 75% of completion of the budget. We have all the documents that are going to be to review. Hope you have a chance. If you have any questions, our staff is available to answer those questions. Everything seems to be somewhat in order that we're at the near the expenses and revenue projection.
That was what I was getting at, Katie, when I asked you earlier. I didn't understand how to add the story, but when you mentioned that maybe we're not, maybe our actual costs are different, what I was looking at is it seems that you know, our budget predictions are always pretty close to our actual costs, and that's why I brought the great distinction.
Yeah, some are running through and are circling somewhere. I don't know what it is, but
yeah.
One of these guys is circling and things that were quite a bit
different. Okay.
But see, we haven't had the budgeting process computerized like this to be able to identify it real accurately. So it's real tough for me to say, okay, that the budget figures are, you know, that accurate. If you read, I don't know where I think it was. Can't find it. Which one did you handle? Which one did it? Yeah.
Are there areas which we traditionally are too conservative and what we might look at?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at the things that, obviously, the things that the percent of budget older than you. those kind of stand out. They should be at about 75% right now instead of 137%, 126%, 114%, 110%, 98%. And one of the couple of questions would be on like an interest. Both of these pretty much right on instead of. Well, I'm just looking here at the percentage. Right on the percentage going.
Are you looking at the
commodity? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it, I don't know, we've got a question on property taxes. Do we get those only for drainage? Is that the case on those?
That was the proper practice for the drainage, the sewer maintenance, and also the ground.
Yeah, I saw
lighting too, right?
Lighting is not a property. Property
taxes are tax revenue,
which makes
$16.75 and other income expense.
On page 4.
We budgeted $135.
Right.
But in April, we got
a $16.25 more than April. Yeah, I just went searching back there. I only saw a couple of spots where they were allocated. And so I was asking where they were, you know, what the value was.
110, 180,
and 170. Yeah. Those expenditures that were verification, but those numbers are small, $1,000, $2,000, and when they go over, the percent goes up there. As you say, budget $1,000, and you spend $2,000, you've got 100% over 200%. But the dollar amount of the whole budget is minor compared with a small amount.
Well, see, we're looking at
Page
4, and
it's
the same thing.
total expenses went by 66% on total expenses.
And it should be around 75%.
And it would be 75% for the after.
Well, but we have to remember we're getting into our hot months and our, like, for example, our utilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's very low on the minimum, about $10,000. It'll go up to $25,000, $35,000 this month alone. So that's going to be the percentage.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that we've budgeted correctly in every department,
yeah,
but those are things that will be skewed for the coming months. The same thing with the property taxes. The interesting thing is you noted that I budgeted real low. Last year, I thought we were going to be paying off the bonds last year. Bond council was talking to me to be using that improvement fund this year. So we've been earning interest on approximately $250,000 that I mistakenly thought we were going to call bonds last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is related to the assessment, which is making a note on the current cover. We stated that we are working with bond council right now to make those bonds pay off. And so that is where a lot of the interest income is earned.
Mm-hmm. But more of my concern is how they have, you know, interest income that being spent come along.
Yeah, okay with that. I mean, our major water sales and sewer revenues, it just looks the bottom line, 56% to all the municipal budget expense. Look at the revenues, like 57%.
That's 81%. If you take out the $600,000, 20% right there.
Well, that's something.
The transfer is $585.
Bottom line, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this comes up a lot. You have two questions. They come out during the meeting, and we already kept it talking before. So, you know, as they should be. How does the board feel about maybe establishing a subcommittee meet once before each home and public comes in? And it has Katie as one member, but she has a lot of town background, obviously. And then one other member. And not that this is totally up the process, because we still have the questions, because we need to know what the rates that we need to know about this business is a part. Also, it's good to look at it. You know, we just have one or two people. One-on-one, but it's always easy and Katie at 90% involved in the grandfather, not speaking to the audience. Let's say they have 67% involved between the three of us.
Well, I feel really strongly that everybody on the court is going to be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's hard to see if you make your own choice as far as the way we understand it too, because we'd all be better served by that. Valid question. As we said, this is a report. It's just the third quarter financial report, the actual cost. So, where you would adjust any problems with this thing would be in the budget. So that's your aware.
That's right. And
you can adjust the report. The report is what it is.
Well, yeah, and there's some certain major expenditures or revenues that you still have to see what the reasons are. Some expenses, I mean, right at the beginning of the 25% is going to be 100% expenditure, which is a capital purchase, you know, that's all the money spent for that one time, and it's going to be the rest of the year, kind of more of the year, you can stop that.
Right. There's no way to flatline all the expenses on this year. It's seasonal fluctuation, but also compensation for other reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. John Snyder. Well, I'm not an expert on budgets either, but maybe you could clarify for me. Are the Hatchet parent legal bills only under the categories of 5170, 5171, and 5172, or are they also under other categories?
No, all legal expenses.
Do all the Hatchet parent bills fall under those three numbers?
Hatchet parent bills fall under 5172.
Okay. And does that mean that their last bill hasn't been paid yet? Just one for $3,400?
That was paid at the first meeting in April, and this is just right off as of March 31st, so you will see the expenditure for April.
Any other public questions? Right now? Okay. Can you give us a suggestion? It's kind of just on you, but you let him ask you so much of the advice.
Well, it's like Lisa said, if we have to determine what we're going to do about fees, of course, we can do the budget.
Well, budget for next year, we can just find out the reports for the last 2 quarters. We need to find the budget space for the next year.
Well, the budget will be refined as we get year-to-date totals. Each year it's based more accurately. The point is, most of the time these budgets are escalated in expenses. I mean, that's just the practicality of making a budget, so you don't have to come back before the board every time you want to get 50 cents. But that's,
Okay, all this is a presentation information before. There's no board action.
Okay.
Here's the information on the side of how this affects the budget. Any other board member questions, comments? All right, item number 11 is the Investment Policy Quarterly Report.
Mr. President, the investment policy was adopted by the district based on California law, and if the district invests in certain agencies like layup and local banks, these reports may be presented to you instead of a full-blown report with the agency that was reporting the layup report and our bank statement to the board, which is the statement for the third quarter report. To save the balance of the account.
If you can make this information, if members have any questions, lay up balances. Okay. Other comments or questions? Quarterly report? Okay. No action is necessary.
Staff would request, excuse me, Mr. President, that the board by motion admit it or accept the report.
That's because it has to be filed with the auditor?
Correct.
Okay. The quarterly report has to be filed with the district auditor within 30 days of the report. Okay. Anyone like to make a motion that we accept the quarterly report to file with the auditor?
I'll make a motion. Accept the report.
Motion by Director Fairbanks, guys, second.
Second.
And second by Director Simon. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And all those opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Simon, for stepping in there. Item number 12 is the manager's report. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, Director Laird and I attended the local chapter of the Special District Association meeting, and at that chapter, they elected the board members of the board of Byron Byrie, Kit Carter. Basically, the bylaws were changed so that the staff members would sit on the board at that meeting. So Kit Carter and Dave Coach, who's the manager for Connecticut's Sanitation District, were elected to the board along with Bill Ingalls and William Dentster, I guess, from Heritage Grant. And the executive committee consists of our legal counsel and Bill Fanbarger, John Laws, Lori Tyone, and Carolyn Locker. As legal counsel mentioned, they're meeting tomorrow as an executive committee of the local chapter of the Special District Association, local member bylaws. Also in your packet is a right to vote act. It's one of the new initiatives coming to board, which